In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the third Sunday of the blessed month of Hathor, and the gospel that we just heard is from it's a passage from the Gospel of St. Luke, and it speaks about discipleship. And this reading is befitting the season as we are starting the Nativity Fast. Every occasion where we have this spiritual revival, it's a time to reflect on our discipleship to the Lord Christ. A disciple means a Christian. Disciples are not only those who follow the Lord, they are apostles. We are all supposedly, we should be called disciples. Today we are going to talk about the number one enemy to our discipleship to the Lord. Surprisingly, if I would say, it's sometimes feelings. I know that we all think of feelings as a sacred thing in us, but we have to be very careful with this. Why? The Lord says in the book of Jeremiah that the heart is wicked above everything else. The heart is wicked above everything else. I'm not saying that feelings are evil, but if we allow them to govern our actions, then they will turn us away from God. We are going to talk today about 4 points. The first one is about the enemy of discipleship, nature of feelings, governed by feelings, and safe with feelings. So the first thing is how feelings can be the enemy of discipleship. Again, I don't want you to think I'm speaking negatively against feelings. We all have feelings, and this is how God created us. And this is something that's sacred, but I'm going to talk about how we misuse them and how sometimes they abuse us, our own feelings. Let us say feelings like sugar. We all need sugar, but sugar is called the white poison. How can we reconcile both? This is what we are going to talk about today. The first point is about the requirements of discipleship. According to the passage today, for anyone to be a disciple, the Lord mentioned before us 3 requirements. The first one, to love God above everyone and everything else. The second requirement is to carry the cross and deny ourselves. And the third requirement is to plan the route and calculate the cost. How much is this going to cost me if I am going to follow God and I am going to be committed in the relationship to the end of my life? How feelings here interfere with these requirements? How they come in the middle? In regard to the first requirement, we have attachments. We love people, and nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we find it's very difficult that I give up on a relationship simply because this is not pleasing to God. And here we feel like, oh, I like this person. He's my best friend. He is this, he's that. And then it's so hard. How can I love this? I love God more than this person. And here again, feelings will play a role and can turn us away. When it comes to carrying the cross, we all experience self-pity. And we think that's too much. I cannot do all of this. How many times people just decline to fast simply because they feel like this is harmful to them. Fasting is harmful to them. When we pity ourselves, when we feel this sense of remorse for our situations, what happened, then we start to blame others. We start to think that we are suffering because of the other people. And by doing this, I don't take responsibility for my own emotions. And then I'm justified to feel whatever I feel. And then I cannot carry across this way. Self-pity will step in the way. And we cannot walk after the Lord simply because it's not doable. And the third one is when we are to calculate a cost. If we have some kind of passion, usually we tend to ignore this step. We just move with the passion without a plan. You find someone moved with a sermon or heard someone speaking about loving God and starting a fast in a certain way, and this person say, I'm going to fast from today and fast till maybe 3 or 4 p.m., abstain from food. Moving with a passion like this, it looks like this is good. But unfortunately, this is not going to get us far simply because this is not how the way we go. Again, feelings here interfere with the whole process if we allow it to govern us. The second point is What is the nature of feelings? Feelings are strong by nature. They are able to generate huge energy. This energy sometimes pushes us to move. A man who thinks that he loves a girl would do anything to go and get this girl for himself. A person who's moved with a passion of anger, maybe wars between nations come because of this passion. Energy is created because of feelings, and this energy usually demands us to act. That's always a recommendation, that when you have a passion that's so strong with something, don't do anything. Just stay still and wait before you talk, before you do anything. We are all weak when it comes to this, and sometimes feelings, they push us to action against even what we understand is right. These feelings think, I know all of us, and I am first among you. Sometimes we are taken by the passion and not giving ourselves the time to think. The second nature of feelings are quick, they are brisk, they come and they come in a second. And that's why you can find people who meet for the first time and say that, oh, this is love from first sight. There is nothing called love from first sight. Yes, there is, but this is not the love that people will base their lives upon. But what happened is something that happened, clicked, stirred the fire. And then this is how the nature of feelings is. The third characteristic of the nature of feelings, they can suspend the work of the mind. Once they are there, all reason fails. Everything that we know is right, now I'm overwhelmed with the feeling. This is the nature of feelings. They, when they are there and they are so strong, mind is still, mind is watching a man doing something that's very foolish, simply because I am moved with feelings. The fourth characteristic, they do not last long. They come so quick and so powerful, and also they fade away quickly. Whenever these feelings are not true, are not genuine, are not something supported with the mind, they cannot stand the test of time. So they fail along the way. And the fifth characteristic is that they're not easily governed. It needs training for us, in order for us to be able that whenever we are moved with feelings, we can say, okay, I'm going to allow the control room in my brain to take an action. Maybe some people, they can govern it for 100%. Some others, maybe they fail 10%, 20%, but at the end of the day, again, it's not easy, something that we need all to learn to be able to govern our feelings with the mind that God created, gave it to us, and with the Spirit of God that is in us. Move into the third point. What happened when a person is governed by feelings? There is a difference between I am taken in a mistake by feelings and I'm governed by them. Governed means that they dictate my action all through. They can move me to action, and another one, I go all the way until I hit rock bottom, as they say. What happens when we are governed by feelings? Number one, there will be a problem with decision making. How? Look at the story of Samson. Samson went to Timnah. Timnah is a city in the land of the Philistines. And there he loved a woman, or he thought he loved a woman. He went back to his parents and said, I want to take this woman in marriage. Look here how his parents responded. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? How did Samson respond to this? They are speaking reason. They are giving him a good cause why he should not marry this woman. She is not from the same religion or from the same people. This is now they are appealing to his reason, his mind. Samson answered and said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Pleasing me well means what? I am moving in this relationship with what? With my heart. What happens here is, when we are governed by emotions, emotions can rationalize the unreasonable, make it look good. Talk with a boy or a girl who is in love with someone who is not matching to him or her, and you will hear things like, I will change her, I will make her to come to the church, and so. All of these, again, problem in decision making. When we make decisions based on how we feel only, it's a guarantee that there is something wrong is going to happen out of this. Many people, they make decisions with their choices, their lives, with their children, with their spouses, based on how I feel. And their minds, it's okay to feel this way, and I am justified to do whatever I think is right. The second problem when we are governed with feelings is that we will be unable to submit to reference. What do I mean by this? If I do not know, usually I go and I ask someone. I open a book. But if I'm governed with feelings, references fail. Even if the book says something, then no, this is not good enough. Give you a good example from what's happening around us in the world today. You find people who are talking to justify how homosexuality should be accepted as a behavior, a normal one. The books, actually, including the Bible and the old psychology books, say this is a perversion. This is a kind of illness. Transgender is simply a mental illness that needs treatment. Nothing wrong with being sick. We are all have this kind of illnesses one way or another. We all need attention from those people who can heal us. But what happens is somebody feels like I am sexually attracted to the same gender. Or I'm a man. No, I am a girl. No, I am a man. Anything. Then because I feel this, then this is right. Books should not tell me what is right and what is wrong, and then I will force the community, based on respecting my feelings, to think that it's okay. If he feels this way, you usually hear this, if he feels this way, then he is right. Discerning between what is right and wrong should not be subject to how I feel. Remember the story from the book of 1 Samuel. When Samuel went to Saul and told him, God has a war against the Amalekites. Go and kill and every man, every beast, don't keep anything. Saul, when he went there, he had some kind of emotions and feelings to keep the king of the Amalekites so people will always see the man and praise Saul for what he did. And then he said to Samuel, I kept the sheep to offer to your God. Saul here allowed his feelings to govern the situation, not the reference. The reference was Samuel. Samuel told him, don't keep anything alive. It was very clear instruction. The reference that whom you are accountable before tells you, don't keep anything. And what he did at the end, he allowed his feelings to be in the middle. Sometimes we know the Bible. We know the command. We know what the church says. But at the end of the day, there is no reference because I feel like right and wrong have no place in the world of feelings. It's about feeling something about it or not. Good and bad are decided based upon how it feels. Is it good to have something that's in my home that's not like honoring God? If it feels good, God will not be upset with it. This is sometimes how people think. All doctrines, creeds, and reasons, they fall before I feel. They fail before I feel. You speak with a person about, this is what the church taught, that what the Bible says. These are the verses. These are the sayings of the fathers. And then someone come and tell you, but you know what? I feel that at the end of the day, God will accept anyone regardless of their belief system. Who cares about a doctrine made by feelings? It shouldn't be the case, my brethren. It's very frustrating when I have a discussion with someone and you bring reasons from the Bible, and at the end of the day, this person say, but I feel like. That's it. It kills everything. I feel like. I remember one day, this is a few years ago, and then I was talking with a girl who wanted to change her belief and become a Muslim. And I asked her at the beginning, are we talking reasons? Are we talking about which doctrine is right? Or are you in a relationship with someone? At the beginning, she told me, no, I don't have a relationship with someone. It's just like my mind, and I'm trying to justify and reason with myself. We keep talking for 6 months. And every time we end the discussion with a question that I raise, and she have no answer for it. And then what do you think about that? What do you think about this? Every time say, I don't know. After 6 months, I asked her the question again. I have been talking with you for 6 months now, and you don't have any answer for the question I raised for you. Why do you want still to change your religion? And then she admitted that I am in love with a man, and this man is a Muslim. So here, this is what happens. References becomes irrelevant because now I am governed with how I feel. The continuous urge to change at all times is feelings. I don't think this is the right wife for me. Why? Simply, actually, I am bored with her. That's it. So I want to change. This is governed by what? Feeling. And then feelings come until and blame our minds. She was not the right person for me from the beginning. You found that this after 25 years of marriage? This doesn't make sense. So again, I am bored. And because I am bored, then it's justified to change her. Seeking after entertainment, even in serious situations. While I'm talking now, I am sure that some of the kids are checking their Facebook, are playing on their phones. The game that they had a score in it last night, they are continuing it today, and they cannot miss it. So what's happening here? I'm just governed by how I feel. I feel like I am pushed in order to finish the game even during the liturgy, and this is what happens. Everything becomes entertainment. You ask a child from attending Sunday school, how was it? He says, boring. What do you mean? When you come from a serious setup like teaching, you say, I learned that, I didn't learn this, I didn't understand this, I'm trying to work on this. This should be the response. But when you say boring, boring is a response that can be given when you are asked about a play. How was the play? The play was entertaining, the play was boring. These are our responses. But when you come from school, boring is not a response unless you are there for to be entertained. Again, this is what happens when we are governed with feelings. Defining success and failure based on feelings. I have been praying for years and I don't feel anything. It's not about how you feel. You have been eating for years. Your food will make your body. It's not about how you feel about what you eat. It is what this food is going to do to you. Many people, they gave up on prayers, reading the Bible, coming to the church regularly, fasting every season, simply because I feel like I'm not making any progress. It's enough. Here again, this is what happens. When we are governed with feelings, decisions are flawed. Secondly, references fail. Whatever I hear from other people that they should be the source of trust, I don't take it in consideration. The last point is how to be safe with feelings. I'm going to rush this for the time. The first thing is, feelings are like sand. Sand is important in construction. You find people when they are mixing cement, they put in it some water and some sand. But imagine a contractor who is going to build the whole building based on sand. How this will look like? It's a sand castle. It's not going to stand anything. It might look good. People can be very talented in building something like this, but at the end, it's not going to stand any test. Secondly, to be safe with feelings, for a mature person, good feelings are more of contentment rather than a thrill. How we know that our feelings are right? When I am content about the decision, when my mind is there and I am okay with it over a long period of time, then this is mature feelings. The thrill, the enthusiasm, the passion that's not rationalized, that take us to move quickly, we should fear these kind of emotions. Be careful with it. The third point is, even with a wrong first reaction, maturity will make the later one right. What do I mean by this? Remember the parable of the two sons? Sometimes we all move with a first response. The first response is mostly feelings. Mature people will come later and say, was this right? And reconsider their position. Those who are not there yet, who are not safe still with their feelings, they will just move with the first inclination. I will go with it to the end. Remember the parable? You say, a man had two sons. This is the Lord Jesus speaking to the people in Matthew chapter 21. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Definitely. The first response is usually governed by feelings. Be careful. It doesn't mean that because you moved for some time with first inclination, it has always to be right. Rethink about it when everything calmed down. To be safe with feelings, we have to know that loving God is an act of the will, not just mere emotion. Sometimes people say, I cannot love God more than my parents. God is not requesting you to feel passion towards Him. Maybe this will come later. But it's not like I put God here and my son here, and then I say, I will choose God. I'm saying it happened in history. You all know the story of Abraham. When Abraham was taking Isaac to be like slain, to offer him a sacrifice, he was moved, I'm sure, with passion of love towards his son. I love my son. I'm going to kill him. It's very hard. The man was not devoid or void of emotions, but he made an action based on what? A decision of the will. I will go and offer the son because God requested me to do so. Loving God more than anyone else means that at the time when I make a decision, I make what God wants regardless of how I feel. I'll say it again. When we say loving God more than other people or anything, it doesn't mean that you will always have emotions towards God in whatever you are going to do. But when it is time to make a decision, you will make it based on what you know is the will of God, not only how you feel. That's why Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, stand before my icon and say, I love you, Jesus. This is not what he meant. This is some kind of a symbol, kind of expression of love that's not going to get us far. He said to St. Peter, if you love me, do what? Feed my sheep. This is an action. Take care of my people. This is what I want you. If you will love me, this is what I'm expecting from you. Loving my enemy is never going to be based on the emotions, that when I see a murderer, somebody from ISIS, I feel like I want to hug him. This is not, will never happen. But I will do what God expected me to do. If we are going to serve this person, I will serve. Maybe I have negative feelings from here to the moon towards this person. It's fine. It's okay. It's understood. It's acceptable. But at the end of the day, when I'm going to apply what God wants, then I will love him the way God wants me to love him, praying for my enemy, offering service to my enemy. Yes, my feelings might not be with me, and this is what makes it hard, but this is what God is expecting from me. The last thing is maintaining relationship is a decision of commitment, not subject to the sheer pressure of boredom. Who are the people who are marriage in their successful in their marriage? Are those people who are not going to say, I am bored, I'm going to change. It's a commitment. I love you means at the beginning maybe I'm excited about you, but later on I'm committed to you. This is what love, according to the Christian values, is. It's not going to be subject to, I am bored, let me find somebody else. Success in God's way is in perseverance in doing His will. Regardless of how you feel, I will do what is right. Today I'm tired, I didn't have enough sleep, but I will stand in the morning and I praise and I worship God. This is a decision. And it's something that's going to be done every single day. I'm committed to come to the church every single week. It's not because I feel like, regardless. I might feel like coming, but if I don't feel like coming, I will still come. This is success with God's way. This is loving Him, perseverance. Stability is to be safe with feelings. Stability is crucial if spiritual growth through worship is to be attained. Meaning, feelings might not welcome at the beginning, but will cherish it at the end. To be stable, be predictable. Something you have to do it every single day. As you eat every day, you also have to worship and praise God every day. So today, we are requested and asked by the church and by God, reminding us, you are to be called disciples. You follow Him. The requirements to follow Him is loving Him more than anybody, anything else, denying ourselves, and at the end, we carry or calculate the cost. Remember that your feelings might not be in agreement, and this is okay. But at the end of the day, we make a decision. I will just go and do what He is expecting me to do. May the Lord to grant us always these holy and sacred feelings to be always governed by the Spirit of God, for us to have our minds working at all times, to be safe with our feelings, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.